Prabhupada is saying, how does one have this spiritual protecting energy that is given by the Lord by devotional service? This protecting energy is not just the material energy. The king is not simply supposed to be a military expert. He is also supposed to be spiritually strong, so that he can protect his citizens by virtue of his spiritual strength. And of course, this part of his duties, the military duties, are also there, of course. But there are many examples of people who had military power but were not spiritually strong, and therefore they only caused destruction and havoc. When one possesses power, and when one is not spiritually enlightened, when one is not a true devotee of the Lord, then one will undoubtedly misuse that power for one's own sense gratification or for one's ego, which is what we see is the case in the history of this world with many, many so-called great kings who were not pious. So the protecting energy of the Lord referred to here, that is supposed to be manifest in the king, is the spiritual protective energy. And if the king is not supposed simply to just give physical protection to the bodies of the citizens, that of course is a part of his duty. But more importantly, the king is supposed to give protection to dharma. When the king protects dharma, principles of dharma, and ensures that his citizens are following the principles of dharma, then he is acting as a true king. And this requires spiritual energy, because only a person who is truly following dharma and is spiritually empowered can actually ensure that others are also following the spiritual path. Dharmo rakshati rakshakaha. This is a famous Sanskrit proverb. That one who protects dharma will be protected by dharma. In other words, by following the path of dharma, one develops a spiritual strength. One develops those spiritual qualities that attract the mercy of Krishna, and Krishna then gives that ultimate protection. So protection is possible by the mercy and the strength of Krishna alone. And that mercy and protection, that power, is made available through the instruments of certain, through the medium of certain transparent instruments who are supposed to be kings. Actually, anyone in any position of leadership is supposed to be an instrument of the protective energy of the Lord in smaller or greater degree. King Rishabhdev, in the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, has instructed his sons, Guru na sasyat, Vajano na sasyat, Pita na sasyat, Janani na sasyat, Guru na tatsyam, Daivam na tatsyam, na mochi, piha sampetam vityam. One should not be a guru, one should not be a relative, one should not be a father, one should not be a mother, one should not be a father, one should not be a king, one should not be a demigod, unless one is able to deliver one's dependence from the cycle of birth and death. So the real protection is protection from Maya, protection from having to take birth again in this material world. That is ultimately what protection is all about. Because the goal of human life is to develop pure love of the Lord and to go back to Godhead. So that is primarily the function of the king. The king is the representative of the Supreme Lord, and therefore he is called Navadeva. And if the king does not take shelter of the Supreme Lord, then he will not be able to offer that true protection, that complete protection, samrakshanaya, to the praja. He may give only physical protection if he is physically powerful, but he cannot give some rakshanaya, can give some protection, but not complete protection, because complete protection also includes importantly, spiritual protection. In the episode of Dhruva Maharaj in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we see that he was only a child of 5 years of age. And generally we see this children who are 5 years old can't speak eloquent poetry and recite all kinds of learned things. But when the Lord touched Dhruva Maharaj's head with his conch shell, then a beautiful poetry in praise of the Lord began to flow from the lotus mouth of Dhruva Maharaj, like a Ganges flows from the Gomukh. How was this possible? Srila Prabhupada explained in his purport that this was possible because Dhruva's transcendental body had now been infused with spiritual energy by the touch of the Lord. And because of that spiritual energy, such wonderful prayers were flowing from his mouth. Actually, even a mundane Sanskrit scholar can compose many Sanskrit verses. We see in the case of Digvijay Pandit Keshav Kashmiri, he could compose 100 verses on the glories of the Ganges verbatim, just impromptu like that. But what was the potency behind those words? Nothing, because he was not a devotee of the Lord. So genuine prayers of the Lord can be done only by devotees, because such prayers come from the spiritual energy. Similarly, genuine protection can be given only when one is infused with spiritual energy. And that spiritual energy, as in the case of Dhruva Maharaj, comes from touch with the Lord. How does one come in touch with the Lord? By the process of devotional service. So it is bhakti that brings one in touch with the Lord. And when one follows the path of bhakti, one can automatically protect oneself and give protection to others. While instructing Sanatana Goswami in the Chaitanya-charitamrita, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Krishna Kripalu Arjunera Laksha Koriya Jagatera Rakhiyachin Upadeshitiya. He is referring to the Bhagavad Gita. Mahaprabhu said, Krishna Kripalu, Krishna is very merciful. Arjunera Laksha Koriya, keeping Arjun as a target or as an apparent object, he has actually given protection to the whole world. Jagatera Rakhiyachin Upadeshitiya. Upadesh meaning the instruction of the Bhagavad Gita. So Arjuna is only an instrument, a nimitta. Krishna's real purpose is not to only instruct Arjuna. Krishna's real purpose is to instruct the whole world, and by the medium of these instructions to give protection to the whole world. In other words, it's important that by following Krishna's instruction, one becomes protected. And what is the specific verse that Mahaprabhu is referring to here? It is that famous verse of the Bhagavad Gita, which is the essence of the Gita. Man mana bhava mat bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mam evai shruti satyam te pratijane priyosine. Where Krishna tells Arjuna, O my dear Arjuna, always think of me, manmana, bhava manbhakta, become my devotee, madhyaji, become my worshipper, mam namaskuru, offer your obeisances unto me. I promise you this, pratijami me, satyam te, in truth I tell you, have faith in me, eva shiti, you will come back to me without fail. I promise you this. So this is Krishna's promise of protection for one who has become his devotee. So by becoming Krishna's devotee, automatically one actually learns to protect oneself and everybody else. And Krishna's such protection is to be seen everywhere, in all the scriptures. Even in the Bhagavad Gita we have the famous verse, Kaunteya Pratijanihi Name Bhaktaha Pranashyati, which means that Krishna is telling Arjuna that, O Arjuna, please boldly declare to the whole world that my devotee shall never perish, which means that Krishna will always protect his devotees. And Srila Prabhupada explains that sometimes Krishna breaks his promise also. Very rarely, but he does that. But he does it only to protect his devotees. So then, Krishna is telling Arjuna to make this statement. Krishna may make other promises in the scriptures, but this one promise, Krishna tells his devotee to make. Because even if Krishna breaks his promise, the devotee will never break his promise. So Krishna is saying, actually Arjuna, you as a devotee have more credibility than me. So better you make this promise. And what is that promise? What is that assurance? That the devotee of mine will never perish, ever. In this way he instructs Krishna, he instructs Arjuna, and through him he instructs all of us that if we want to be really protected, that we must become devotees. And unless we are protected ourselves by accepting the protection and mercy of the Lord, how can we protect others? So the ideal king is one who is a devotee because he has accepted the mercy and the protection of the Lord. And thereby he has become spiritually and materially empowered to give protection of all sorts to the citizens of his kingdom. Those kings who try to offer protection without the mercy and the spiritual energy of the Lord will be unsuccessful. But the Srimad Bhagavatam and the other scriptures consist of so many wonderful examples. King Parikshit, for example, he would travel around Chankramanam. He would also go on his tours just for the sake of Vadhaya Chapasatam, just to chastise or kill miscreants. And one time Parikshit Maharaj came across personified Kali, who was hounding the bull, the principles of religion who had taken the form of a bull. And immediately King Parikshit apprehended that person and was about to kill him. But because that person took shelter of the king, therefore Parikshit Maharaj forgave him. This is also the quality of Krishna, and because the true king, the devotee king, is a devotee of the Lord, therefore he imbibes the qualities of the Lord as well. It is a Kshatriya principle that once someone surrenders to you, then you don't kill him, then you forgive him and give him shelter. So we see that Maharaj Yudhishthir and his brothers the Pandavas would also offer protection to their citizens, because they always lived on the protection of Krishna. Who can have more trying circumstances in life? Who can have more trials and tribulations than the Pandavas? Sometimes when we are in difficulty, we should remember the example of the Pandavas and what kind of austerities and difficulties they had to undergo. They were the kingly class. They were meant to rule the world. But here they were in exile in the forest, sleeping on the forest ground, on the earth, on just a bed of straw and twigs, eating fruits and berries, living with the sages, traveling on foot, devoid of their opulences and costly clothes and their chariots and so on. And they simply depended on Krishna's protection. And even when they were kings, they never forgot Krishna for a moment. That was their qualification. So the real qualification of the true king is that he never forgets Krishna, he is always dependent on Krishna. And Krishna sometimes puts these kings into difficulties because he wants them to be more dependent on him. Actually, that is also the reason why Krishna puts the demigods into difficulties sometimes. One Vaishnava Acharya has commented that why are there asuras? Why is there a division of demons and demigods? It would be so nice if everyone was a demigod. So it is said that if the asuras didn't exist, then perhaps the demigods would also become asuras. Out of fear of the asuras, the demigods become dependent on Krishna, because Krishna is there for protection. And therefore they take shelter of Krishna. In the nectar of devotion it is said that one of the qualities of Krishna is that he is very dependable. So dependable that even the demons would be 100% sure that Krishna would not attack them without due cause. And therefore they would be fearless and live and even sleep at night with their doors open. So the demons were also completely confident about Krishna. Then what to speak of the demigods? It is said that even the demigods who, in the midst of their sufferings, would still continue to have sporting activities because they were confident of Krishna's protection. Now we are going through a bad patch, but still Krishna will protect. So this sense of dependence on Krishna is very important for everybody, whether it's the king or anyone else. This is one of the principles of surrender. One of the six symptoms or characteristics of surrender is rakshishyati iti vishvaso. To have that firm conviction that Krishna will protect and he is the only one who can actually protect. So this understanding, this conviction is called strong faith. With this faith, one becomes fearless. There are many wonderful descriptions also in the scriptures. In the nectar of devotion, Rupa Goswami has given some examples. He is quoted from the Narasingha Puran, where Lord Narasimhadev is saying to his devotees, Tvam prapannosmi sharanam deva deva janatana iti yah sharanam praptah kleshat uddharayamyaham. Lord Narasimhadev says, sharanam prapannosmi tvam. Sharanam means shelter. Actually the word Sharanam in Sanskrit has two meanings. One is Raksha or protection and the other is shelter or Ashraya. So when one is Sharanagati, when one takes Sharanagati or complete shelter of the Lord, one receives all kinds of protection. So Lord Narasimhadev is saying that if somebody comes to me and says, Tvam prapannosmi sharanam, that I have taken complete shelter of you, O Janardhan. The word Janardhan means one who maintains all living entities. Or one who may chastise miscreants. Then sharanam praptaha, I accept this person as my ward. And then klesha uttarayami aham. Then I personally take care to ensure that this devotee of mine is protected in all circumstances. And I remove all difficult situations from his life. The word shelter is very deep, or surrender is very deep. One who surrenders in this way automatically achieves protection. The Pandavas attained complete protection because they surrendered to Krishna. It is only at the time of surrender that complete protection comes. Till Draupadi surrendered to Krishna, she was not protected. Nobody else could protect her. But when she threw up her hands, then Krishna came, because Draupadi had acted very feelingly, helplessly, called out for Krishna. Similarly, Lord Ramachandra in the Ramayana, in the famous verse, has also said, Sakradeva prapanno vyas तवात्मीति याचते अभयं सर्वदा तस्मै ददाम्येतद्व्रतम् This happened when Vibhishan came across the ocean to take shelter of Ram, having been exiled or sent away by his elder brother Ravana, because Vibhishan was protesting against Ravana's wrong activities. The others, the Vanar Sena, the monkey soldiers and everyone else, were very suspicious of Vibhishan, and they suspected him to be a spy. But Vibhishan put forward his genuine feelings and said, no, I have come here to take shelter of Lord Ram. So Lord Ram accepted him. And he said, Sakrit Eva, even one time, Sakrit means even once, if somebody, Prapanna Eva, takes shelter of me, Tava Asmi, and says, Tava Asmi, O Lord, I am yours. Then he says, Abhayam Tatsaradatasmai, I award complete fearlessness to this devotee. Vratam Eta, this is my vrat, this is my vow. I will give him this gift of fearlessness. Dadam Eta Vratam Mama. So Krishna gives complete protection. When there is complete protection, one becomes fearless. It is said that even the enemies were sometimes feeling fearless because they knew that if they simply go and take shelter of Krishna, then Krishna will not harm them. Rupa Goswami says like this again in the Nectar of Devotion. So what to speak of the devotees? Even if the enemies come to Krishna and take shelter, then they have nothing to fear because Krishna will give even them protection. So when one becomes a devotee of Krishna and takes shelter of him, one receives Krishna's mercy and protection, and then one becomes fearless. There is another nice verse that I'd like to quote from Hari Bhakti Vilas, which is very nice because Rupa Goswami has quoted it in this connection. Tavasmiti vadam vacha tathaiva manasa तस्थानम् आशितस्तन्मा मोदते शरणागताः. Again the same principle. तव अस्मि इति वदं वाच. If somebody comes to me says, तव अस्मि, O my Lord, I am you, I am yours, please protect me. And if he takes shelter of me with his words, his mind and his body, then I give complete shelter to him and he now experiences complete bliss, modate. So if one is experiencing protection, one experiences fearlessness and one also experiences bliss. So these are the two symptoms or characteristics of one who is being protected. Just see the case of a child. The child doesn't have to worry about when he will get his next meal. The child doesn't have to worry about the bully down the lane because the father or the mother is with him. So the child is fearless, the child is blissful. Much like that, when the devotee takes complete shelter of Krishna, then he or she also becomes fearless and blissful. And such was the case in the reign of Maharaj Yudhishthira, Maharaj Parikshit and so on. All the citizens of the kingdom were exactly feeling this kind of fearlessness and bliss. Because the kings were ideal kings and they could actually give their shelter because they themselves had taken shelter of the Lord and they themselves were feeling fearlessness and bliss. Only one who is fearless can avoid fearlessness. Only one who is blissful can give bliss. So the kings must be like that. Ideal devotees are like that. So in this way, the great kings like King Parikshit, Maharaj Yudhishthira and so on, they demonstrated by their example how one should receive protection and give protection. In many ways, today it is very difficult for a king to rule because of the influence of Kali. But nonetheless, the process of devotional service is timeless. Anyone who accepts devotional service with his heart and soul will receive that protection. The Brajavasis receive Krishna's protection even from the greatest of kings in this material world, like Indra. He is not an ordinary earthly king. He is the king of the demigods. And even though he is a devotee of the Lord, he became overwhelmed by false ego. And he tried to demolish the village of Braj with all its inhabitants by pouring down torrential rain, which is seen only at the time of the universal destruction. But Krishna protected the Brajavasis because they had taken complete shelter of him. They were his pure devotees. So even if it's a devotee king like Indra, not an earthly king, but a heavenly king, if he also becomes forgetful of Krishna, even if he thinks that he is the cause of protection and everything else, if he forgets his connection with Krishna, if he thinks that now I am independent in my power, then he will meet the same fate as King Indra. King Vena in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we see, was an ideal example of how one can be disconnected from Krishna as a king. He became so puffed up because of his position as king that he practically banned all kinds of worship of Lord Vishnu. No sacrifices, no worship. He said the Brahmana should worship me because the king is everything. But the king is not everything independent of himself. The king is not a veil, yes. He is to be worshipped like the Supreme Lord, provided he has a connection with the Supreme Lord. Provided he is a devotee of the Supreme Lord. So because Vena was disconnected from the Supreme Lord, the Brahmanas eventually killed him. So even a devotee king like Indra can sometimes forget that connection to Krishna. And then, instead of giving protection to the citizens, he harasses the citizens. And that is what Prabhupada says in the last line, that this is the situation in Kali Yuga. In modern heads of state sit very nicely in their palaces and try without reason to kill innocent persons. So instead of being an instrument in the hands of the Supreme Lord to offer bliss, fearlessness and protection to the citizens, the kings become a cause of harassment. But when the kings always keep their connection to Krishna very strong by practicing devotional service strongly, then it's an ideal state. King Kulashekhar was one example of someone who ruled his kingdom but was also extremely Krishna conscious. He would have the Vaishnavas always coming there in his kingdom, in his royal court. He would hear the scriptures from them. He would serve them personally, menially, and then side by side continue with his royal duties. Of course, eventually he became such an exalted devotee that he couldn't continue his kingly duties anymore. And he retired to Sri Rangam to worship the Lord Ranganath over there. So following in the footsteps of the Brajavasis, since we are in Vrindavan, if we take shelter of Krishna, then we can be assured of Krishna's protection in all circumstances. Again, there's a nice verse which I want to quote, which Mahaprabhu quoted when he saw the Gopal deity when he visited Vrindavan. Out of fear of the Muslims, the pujaris had taken the deity of Gopal, which had formerly been installed by Madhavendra Puri, nearby to a village called Nathuli. And the deity of Gopal was there because Mahaprabhu did not want to climb Govardhan Hill. Gopal wanted to give darshan to Mahaprabhu, so he arranged for this whole episode to happen as a trick, so that eventually Mahaprabhu could take darshan. And so when Mahaprabhu saw Gopal, he chanted this beautiful verse. Vāmastāmarasākṣasya bhujaganda chapātuvah krīdā kandukatam yena nīto govardhano giri. Mahaprabhu is saying here that may that Supreme Lord Krishna, who lifted Govardhan Hill with his left hand, protect you. Actually, may that left hand of Krishna protect you. Vamas, Bhujadanda. Bhujadanda means the arm, and Vamas means the left. Tamarasa, Akshasya. Aksha means the eye, Tamarasa means the lotus petal. So Krishna has eyes like a lotus petal, and may his left hand protect you, chapatubaha, may it protect all of you. Why the left hand? Because it is the left hand that lifted Govardhan Hill. And how did it lift Govardhan Hill? Krida kandukatam. Just like a toy, he lifted Govardhan Hill and held it aloft for 7 days and seven nights. So may that left hand of Krishna protect you. So the devotee can also take shelter of Braj Dham or Govardhan Hill to avail of Krishna's protection, and then there is nothing to fear at any time. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. So are there any questions or comments? The question is that the qualities of a king were glorified, so it almost seems like we are talking about a spiritual master. Yes, it's a fact. The king is supposed to be the leader for the masses, for the people at large. But the ideal king being a kshatriya will also have his spiritual master. He will be guided by the brahmanas. He will not be independent. He will always take advice and guidance from the council of brahmanas, and then he is guided properly on the path of dharma, and then he acts like a guide for the people at large. Like we see the Srimad Bhagavata Maharaj Rishabdev was speaking, not just to his 100 sons, but there were many, many citizens assembled there also. So he was playing the role of a guru. So that is the ideal king. Any other questions or comments? Yes. Is the mic there?
We can see that during the history of human civilization, we have like many great kings. And the last big Vaishnava kings were like thousands of years ago, so quite a long period. But you have other spiritual traditions or religious traditions like Islam or Christianity, or even before you have in Europe, you have great kings who are worshipping, like demigods or the pharaohs. They all have some kind of religion, you know, like even Alexander the Great, when he decided that he returned west, he did sacrifices to India and he went back. Or like you have the instances of great Muslim kings. There was an instance about, I was reading about the history of Mughal. And Akbar was very great, a grand general, wonderful. His great son, Aurangzeb, was like very heavy, not a king. But I read that he was actually very, very devoted. He was austere, very moral, very strict, and very. So I was wondering what kind of protection have those kings? Or like great Krishna. Christ in the name of Bible, and they hope that they went to the crusade and told us to make out. They were convinced they were going to heaven because they are doing the, they are following the Pope, they are following the scripture. So how the protection and work in this case? Or they just, are they just so hell-bent leaders who will go to hell?
Srila Prabhupada has given a very broad conception of how an ideal king should rule. If you study his books, he's also very practical. While he has certainly very clearly outlined the supremacy of devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, as the ultimate worship, and how a king must be a devotee of Krishna or Vishnu, nevertheless, in his purports in the Srimad Bhagavatam, he has also talked about what can be done in a modern day situation. And he says that there are so many other bona fide religions like Christianity, Islam. No matter, let them follow their respective religions, but they must follow properly and develop love of God. The test of a religion is to the degree that you can develop love of God. A genuine follower of a religion is a lover of God, not a hater. So the test is in the symptoms that come when you follow. It is not simply a blind following, a fanatical following of some of the ritualistic aspects of a particular faith. It's a question of developing devotional and spiritual qualities and developing genuine surrender. So there have been kings who have been faithful perhaps in other traditions, and no doubt it's better to have that than to have someone like Dana. At the same time, in modern history, you do also have examples of kings like Maharaj Pratap Rudra, who were great Vaishnavas, who were very valiant as warriors. At the same time, they were completely surrendered to the Supreme Lord, and they had all the devotional qualities in them. Okay, one last question. Somebody had a hand raised. Yes, go back.
In the expression of Leela, Nanda Maharaj and Vishnu have been clear for when all the demons are affecting Krishna and Gopala. And because of that fearfulness, that when we can move away from Gopala and go to some other place, that's where Krishna will not be attacked. So that's the kind of fearfulness of the demons, that is that people in the demons will have a plan to be to Krishna.
Yes, that is transcendental fear, but that is fear for Krishna. That's something that's far superior. They are fearing not for their protection, but for Krishna's protection. They were thinking that we have to protect Krishna. That was their position. The general devotees always pray to Krishna for protection. The Vrajabasis also pray time to time. But the position of Mother Yashoda and Maharaj is that they felt it their position to actually protect Krishna. And therefore, there was some anxiety because always by Krishna's own arrangement there were demons coming here all the time. So this is transcendental fear, and they are actually in the highest stage of devotional ecstasy. So these are all spiritual sentiments that were found here in Braj by the mercy of the Lord. So that is not to be compared with the ordinary fear that comes out of a concern for our own protection in this world. Okay, so we'll stop here. Stop. Thanks. Time now. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om Premanande.